You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm. Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Chris Pimlott, the team in the studio. It's a big day as well, day two of the May Festival at Chester Moor. Epsom Clues in the D Stakes there. We've got the Ormond Stakes for the other horses. Alongside that, Huntingdon, Worcester, Wincanton, Chelmsford and Tipperary throughout the day. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Very good. Very good, thank you, Mark. Yeah, back, nice to be back to work. Second day back. Been off about 9 days. Was in Madrid this time last week.
In Madrid? What did you go to Madrid for? Just a holiday? Or?
No. It was the annual Arabian Horse Racing Conference, which I had the joy of moderating a panel on. There's all these, I think it's over 3 days, and they have 8 panels, and I was chosen to moderate one on jockey weight maintenance, accidents and insurance.
Right.
There was various topics over the week, and we on Tuesday we had a bit of free time, so we went to the Bernabeu. We were given a car from the festival and blacked out window, so it was getting quite busy at the Bernabeu at this stage, sort of lunchtime. And we just rocked up it to have our pictures taken outside. Just rocked up in our blacked out car, got out waving, you know. But it was good. It was good. And Arsenal stayed in the same hotel as well because they played there on Thursday. They stayed in the same place Wednesday night. So it was it was a good week. I came back Friday morning and went to your touch on Saturday. Ran a 10K on Sunday and I'm now injured again.
What have you done?
Something to my knee. I've got to go get some physio on it. An old injury has flared up again. Had bank holiday Monday. I've got burnt, but that seems to have got disappeared now. Went to work yesterday, and here we are again today on Wednesday as we record this.
Well, there you go. Potted history of Gary's week there.
This is your life.
Good stuff. I mean, you've been to places with that Arabian Racing gig, haven't you?
Yeah, we started off in London, and then after that went to Warsaw, Rome, Marrakesh, Madrid this year, and Bucharest next year.
Very good, very good.
I didn't even know they had racing in Romania.
No, you learned something new.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the racing close to hand, though, Gary.
Yeah.
Close to these shores.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Chester. Love Chester. I love the May meeting. I think it's superb.
Yeah.
And this time last year, it was a very key stage of the season because Enable won the Cheshire Oaks at the May meeting, and in the Chester Vars, Wings of Eagles finished second. They went on to win the Epsom Oaks and the Derby. So,
yes,
do you think we'll see similar this year, or is it maybe not quite as significant this time around?
I think if you'd have gone back, particularly at the time, I know it's easy to say after what Enable's done, but you wouldn't have thought Enable would have done what she did after she won,
and
you certainly wouldn't have thought Wings of Eagles would have done well, he did. I mean, obviously, he got beat in the Irish Derby, but he got injured in that race. But traditionally, they do throw up plenty of classic winners.
Mm. Ruler of the World as well. He won at Chester before.
Ruler
he won
of the World.
Derby.
You go back as far as Chris Kinn. Obviously, I think Shergar won at Chester as well. So plenty of horses. I mean, we often say about the Dante as being one of the better Derby trials, but I think horses tend to learn a little bit more at Chester. But I'm looking forward to this week. From a punting point of view, the best race for me has been moved. I was expecting to see it today. I didn't realise it had moved the Chester Cup to the Friday. It came as a bit of a shock. But Aidan O'Brien has obviously got plenty of runs. I mean, we're recording this at Wednesday lunchtime, but we've got the Chester Vars and the Cheshire Oaks today. Lots of unexposed horses, as you'd expect, and we'll learn more over the coming days, I'm sure.
Yes, we will be mentioning over the next couple of days, next few days, prices for the Derby as they change. Mm-hmm. I would be very, very surprised if anything usurped Saxon Warrior at the top of the market. He went 4-5 So he's a bit of odds on now for the Derby on the back of his Guineas performance. And he looked every bit a Derby type, didn't he, in the Guineas there?
Very much so. A little bit like sort of Camelot in a way when he won the Guineas. I know they're talking about potentially a Triple Crown, but I think the mile, I know they went quite quickly and the race actually really did suit him, but for me a mile is sort of the bare minimum for him, really. I don't see a mile and a half being an issue. And I don't see any reason, whilst if they want to go down that route, with the Triple Crown was talked about, wasn't it?
They've mentioned the Triple Crown, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously got to get the Derby out of the way first, and what happens and how he goes through that race will have an implication of his target further down the line, I suppose. But it'd be a very sporting thing to do. Also, they tried that with Camelot, didn't they? Obviously got beaten in the Ledger. But to be honest, I'd, unless something comes massively impressive over the next week and a half, I don't really see him having too many troubles winning the Derby, to be perfectly honest. It's easier said than done, obviously, and from a punting point of view, I think probably the Oaks is a little bit more of an open affair, with us betting, 7-2 of the field, with Larti Daru won the Pretty Polly Stakes, which is also a very good Oaks trial. I think Ouija Board won that race, and there have been many other high-profile horses that have done the same before, going on to run in the Oaks as well. So, the flat season slowly warmed up, and we're getting into the nitty gritty. Now, of course, we've got a few trials at Lingfield to look forward to as well on Saturday. But they're sort of, I think High Rise might have been the last horse to have done the double in terms of the Derby and that particular trial, which would have been 96 or 97, I think, or maybe even 8. One of those 3 years, anyway. So. But they're the kind of races where Aidan O'Brien sends horses over to sort of try and develop a bit of a pecking order and suss out a little bit of the other opposition, really.
Hmm. Yeah. We'll have more chat about the Derby and such as we go along. We've got, as you mentioned, York coming up very shortly as well for the Dante meeting.
Next week, yep.
So we'll have plenty more clues along the way. Let's look at Thursday's racing at Chester, because we do have a Derby trial there as well in the shape of the D Stakes. It's a listed race over a mile and a quarter. Mm-hmm. At the time of recording this, My Lord and Master is the 5-2 favourite. Kenya is 100-30 with Rostropovich. It's 5-1 for Finiston Farm. Rastrelli is 5-1 as well. 20's King's Proctor, and Shakur is very unfancied at 66-1. Aidan O'Brien's got a fantastic record in this race, Gary. He's won it many, many times with the likes of Cliffs and Moher last year. He won it with Kingfisher, Magician, Astrology. And further on, he's won it with the likes of Admiral of the Fleet and so on and so forth. He's got two in the race this year. Quite interesting that that Ryan Moore has picked Rostropovich, who's had more appearances than Kenya. Could be more to come from Kenya. But Rostropovich kind of has that group form in the book already. Do you think that's why he's made that decision?
I would imagine so. And obviously he's ridden him quite a bit as well. He actually rode him on his debut back in May of last year. Obviously he was on board when the horse won at the Curra, won the Futurity Stakes. And also when the horse finished third in the National Stakes, also at the Curra. He also rode him when he finished fourth at Longshore in that Group 3 race at their opening meeting. Wasn't actually beaten that far. And he looks as though, just the way that he goes through his races, that he's ready for this step up in trip. And I think just the way that he, as I say, goes through his races, you'd think the mile and a quarter would be ideal for this horse. Kenya, there was a lot of talk about him, wasn't there, after he won his final two starts last year, including winning a Group 3 contest. He finished third, obviously, behind Gustav Klimt in the Guineas trial at Leopardstown on Grand National Day. And obviously, again, he shaped as though this kind of trip's going to be sort of perfect for him.
Yeah, because that Guineas trial is now over 7, isn't it, as well?
It is. So they've brought that back down this year from a mile to 7, yes.
Might seem better light over a mile and a quarter now.
Yep, very much so. The others, Finiston Farm was second at Newmarket just over 3 weeks ago. I think he's quite interesting as well, obviously, for the Daskam team. Rastrelli won quite eye-catchingly at Newbury, and again looks as though he's open to a good bit more improvement. And My Lord and Master, I think, has got better with each run. You can understand why he's favourite, really. Won at Nottingham in November of last year and then finished second at Epsom in the Derby trial when he wasn't beaten far. Woody Haggis has his horses in good form. I don't think Fortune's Pearl is a likely runner, from what I understand, so I think we'll be down to seven, annoyingly. I think I'd have to stick with Rostropovich. Ryan Moore's obviously picked him ahead of Kenyu. Potentially is perhaps the more interesting, certainly, of the two on in terms of open to improvement. But I think we'll see a big jump up of improvement from Rostropovich as he steps up in trip, which obviously he does here. So Rostropovich would be the pick in the D Stakes.
So that's the D Stakes then, Rostropovich for Gary there. We have a group race on the card at Chester as well, the Ormond Stakes. It's a Group 3. This one's for the older horses and it's over a trip of 1 mile and 5 furlongs. Just the six of them set to go to post for this one. Idaho is the 11-8 favourite. Muntahar is 5-2, 5-1 Duretto, 8-1 for Daniel Kodiak, 10-1 for Dylan Mouth, and Elidor is 16-1. You can see why Idaho is at the top of the market. Obviously, Ed O'Brien, that factors into it. At Chester, he does really well there. And Idaho, he's going to be pretty short here.
Yes, I think so. This horse, who will be having his first start here at the track, but I don't think that's too much of an issue, to be perfectly honest. This horse, who obviously ran in some very good races last year, he obviously won at Royal Ascot, winning the Hardwick Stakes, sixth in the Coronation Cup prior to that, and he's done some travelling. This horse, you look at the races he had. I mean, he's been to Canada twice. Obviously, ran in the Arc. He was eighth in the Arc behind Chanty. He ran in the Sword Dancer Stakes as well at Saratoga. He then ran in the Japan Cup, was fifth in the Japan Cup. And he was eighth at Maidan this year behind Hawk Bell in the Shima Classic. So fair to say this is a little bit calmer than some of the races he's been running in. And crucially, of those that have got similar-ish sort of ratings as him, he's the only one with race fitness on his side. I mean, Daniel Kodiak did finish second at Newbury on his return, but he's actually got to give Idaho weight because of the way the penalty structure is. So I couldn't see him winning, albeit tactics could play a bit of a part, I suppose, with only six in the field. There's more to come from Muntahar this year. This horse won the John Porter at Newbury last year, but it was a bit disappointing after that, albeit he has won here before, so that's a tick in his box. Giretto has also won here before, but again, strictly speaking, I think he's got bits to find. And the other pair, Dylan Mouth, won a good handicap at Haydock last year, but he's got plenty to find on the figures. And likewise, Elidor, for all that he won on his seasonal return last year, he's making a seasonal return. I'd be surprised if he was good enough. So it's pretty boring, but Idaho, this is a marked step down in grade for this horse, and it'll be disappointing if he's not up to taking this en route, probably to going back to Royal Ascot for something like the Hardwick Stakes. So not very original, but Idaho the pick in the Ormond.
Okay, Idaho to go along with another Ed O'Brien runner then in the D Stakes at 225, that one, Rostropovich, the pick there for Gary. So fancy it to be another good day for Ed O'Brien on the Rudy. You can, of course, listen to all of the action on William Hill Racing Radio. Thank you very much, Gary.
Pleasure.
And we are live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. on Thursday. Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Day two of the May Festival at Chester is accompanied by Huntingdon and Worcester in the afternoon. We've got Wincanton, Chelmsford and Tipperary throughout the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.